Welcome to our colleagues who are listening in to our conversations as a Child Health Advisory Council for Career Physician. Today's topic, how do you look for and obtain and should you and when you should get recommendations? I've had the experience in my leadership roles of having faculty who I was very close to and very fond of looking and appropriately looking for new leadership roles and find that they'd been recruited and no one had ever inquired. And I always thought, gee, you know, I had found getting recommendations very helpful, both to understand people's strengths and where I could help them be successful when they came to our organization. So I thought today would be a good time to talk a little bit about the value of recommendations and a little bit of information about that. Valerie, I don't know if you've had the experiences I've had, but do you find recommendations important?
Oh, I think they're critical. I've had lots of experiences in both directions, you know, individuals where nobody reached out, nobody seemed to want to get any reference or kind of assessment of sort of the trajectory of a faculty member. And I've had other situations where, you know, the reach out has been so beneficial, most importantly to the candidate, but also to me. I mean, the one that's coming to mind is an individual who was chair of a department at the same time I was chair, who reached out to get my assessment of a faculty member they were trying to recruit. And I didn't think it was the right time for this faculty member. And we had a series of conversations around why they were interested in this individual, what the issues were at the institution that drew them to this candidate. And through the conversations, you know, I became increasingly convinced that this was the right move for this young woman who was being recruited. And I also had a role in helping to outline kind of the support systems that needed to be in place in order for that individual to be successful. I was so committed to their career being a good one and one that led to really important leadership positions. And I got past the worry about this being a too early recruitment. And I really think that that conversation, and actually there's several people on our panel here that I've had conversations similar around recruitment. I think that when you care about an individual, you've been committed to the individual's career, and they have a great opportunity, you again have a chance to be part of continuing to mentor them and to make opportunities for them be realized and for them to have great success, even when you're not sure it's the right time for them. So, you know, I think that those are really great experiences that have always reinforced to me how significant it is to reach out and talk about a candidate, talk about their experiences, talk about what you think their leadership potential is, and for you to really think through the appointment for them at another institution, even when it feels kind of not good, like in the sense that you'd like to keep them here, you know? If you're the kind of leader that really cares about the individuals that you've been privileged to be part of their career, you care about every step in their career trajectory. And I think that's why it's so disappointing when someone could reach out to you and they don't get your opinion. I mean, I think it's just like, are you kidding me? What are you thinking?
I think the crucial point that you made is whether or not you care about the individual and their career. I mean, not to be a downer, but life is complicated and the issues around recruitment can get really complicated. If at the center of our leadership positions, you know, in terms of references, do I think they're helpful? Yes, I do. Okay. But who initiates it and how that conversation happens is really critical, because Valerie, you were very upfront in saying that, in fact, you weren't in support, but that you were open enough to be able to look at not what your self-interest or the interest of the department that they were in, but the interest of that individual. And that's really at the heart of this. I think that situations can be pretty complicated when, in fact, that's not the premise, when there isn't support for that faculty, which may explain why they didn't, you know, reach out or they asked, I don't know, you know, we can envision many scenarios. So I think that checking ourselves in that reference process is going to be important. I've had some challenges with respect to when I've either called or been called, is that the opinion is not necessarily given freely, meaning that sometimes you're left to thinking, reading between the lines. That's where the judgment, and I'd love to hear from my colleagues, they're not willing to say, you know what? It really, the last time they were in my department at whatever level, in fact, it wasn't good. And so I'd love to maybe throw that question out to my colleagues to see, because I think that can be really difficult. And it may be that they suggest, for example, coaching immediately, the kind of support systems that can allow someone to succeed. And you may choose that path. Is it a red flag is a question in my mind, or does it help us to set up the support systems to sort of support success? So it's a question I leave out there because it's a complicated answer. So
I'm going to respond, because the scenario I described, I think, is the good extreme. In the middle is what you're describing, where somebody reaches out or you're in the process of getting a reference and you're not sure that you're getting accurate, honest information. But the worst extreme is they never call you. And that other extreme I have seen in spades, really don't want to know and have a perspective. So, you know, I think that that's the other extreme that hopefully we can put to bed. You know, anybody that's recruiting for any position who doesn't reach out and try to get references, and you should always start with the 3 to 5 references that you ask the candidate to give you. But at the same time, you know, you have connections and you have people that you can reach out honestly and, you know, to get some references. But the fact to not do it is just, to me, unconscionable. And I have seen many, many, many people burned. And I have been on the end of phone calls like, we're having all of these issues. You know, I should have called you. And you never want to be making those phone calls to try and get perspective on what you didn't learn. But the part in the middle, I think, is where we should spend most of our time. You raise a really good point. Like, how do you get and solicit a good, honest feedback, even when it's very difficult for the candidate, you know, that you're calling, or not the candidate, but the person you're refereeing, to put them in a position that's a safe position to give information to you that could be helpful there.
The other is just to raise, and I see Wesley's hand there, is the timing of that. I remember, and this was a wonderful experience, so I'm relating it as a good experience, where I was exploring the possibility of a leadership position. And I actually loved the interview, but I chose initially not to share with my chair that I was going, because I wasn't sure whether or not I was serious about it. And I went to the chair and I said, you know, I had a wonderful interview, but I actually don't want to go anywhere. And he said, yeah, they told me already, they loved you. And so here, this is a good interaction, because we had such a good relationship and trusting relationship. But the timing of that call is also something that perhaps we can answer. Usually I've been in the situation where we tell folks when we will be reaching out, so that if they choose not to proceed, that it hasn't jeopardized their position necessarily. But again, this is something that a conversation is merited.
As Danielle and Valerie were talking, you know, I've thought of the thousands of search committee interviews that we've done as a company. And one of the questions is, historically, of the candidates, you know, tell us about a time you made a bad leadership decision and how you dealt with it and got out of it. And invariably, a very high percentage of the time, people are talking about a hire they made that was not great for them or for the department. So it is a real issue. A couple things I would put out to the group is, just because one of your faculty members knows them doesn't mean they're a great fit for your department or your division. And so a lot of times we see institutions forego references just because Sally or John knew this person and said they're a great person. Again, that might work out more than it doesn't, but failing to do your due diligence on somebody specific to the job, probably a mistake. Danielle, to your example, checking people's references before they know you're checking them and calling in behind people is also a bad strategy. That's the quickest way from a recruiting perspective to lose a candidate, because it gives them a sense they can't trust you or your organization. And it's a tough thing to overcome in a lot of cases. So
to bring the focus back to the candidate, if the candidate is coming from outside and you're looking to go ahead and reach out, one nice thing about COVID is now we do all of our initial interviews virtually. And I think many of you probably do the same. But at the end of that, if the committee decides to proceed, and the committee is arm's length from the chair, the candidate is then asked or told that it will be important to contact their chair. What would be an appropriate time to do that? And is there anything that they would like to mention that we should know about before we contact the chair? If the candidate is from your own department, we've made it a point with the annual review process to talk about growth and leadership, either within or without. Are you ready to move? Are you interested in moving up? And if so, what can we do to prepare you? Are there leadership courses or mentorship that can prepare? So keeping the focus on the candidate in both directions will make for a more positive search.
I just wanted to reinforce, I think, what Bruce said is that it's really important to be upfront with the candidate, and the time that you begin to contact references from the candidate, they need to know that time is coming, and it should certainly be before the end of the search. And a good time to have that conversation is when you have the conversation with the candidate about the references that they're putting forward, which I think is a really good time to introduce the fact that towards the end of the search, you're going to be contacting other folks that you may know within or outside their institution. But it really is important to let the candidate know that, because many of the candidates have a confidentiality. And when the search is moving to that phase, you don't want to sort of be backdooring them, and because that can end up causing a lot of discomfort on the cause of the candidate and make it more difficult for the recruitment to be successful. One other issue that sometimes comes up, and I think that, Danielle and Valerie sort of alluded to it, but I don't find it a particularly easy one to deal with, if you're in a leadership position in an institution and you know an individual is, you hear and are certain an individual is being recruited, and you have information that you think is important for that institution to know about. The candidate has perhaps been the target of sexual harassment investigations, or more than one sexual harassment investigation. And is that the sort of information that you think the recruiting institution needs to know? And that decision is not particularly an easy one to make, and oftentimes requires getting a perspective. You are fiduciary for the organization that you're representing, and perhaps talking with counsel, what should be talked about, what can be talked about. And it's not a decision that should be made lightly.
That's a hot topic there. When I was recruiting individuals, and when we were getting, I really respected their privacy until we were interested to the point where I asked if they were ready for us to check their references. But I always said, have you talked to your chair? If you haven't, I encourage you to, because I will be calling your chair. I want you to know that. And I always really felt good about a candidate who said, oh yeah, at this point, I've talked with my chair and let her or him know that I'm looking at this position, because I knew that if I hired them, they would probably be honest with me when they were looking. It was a very, very positive thing. This issue of how one discovers things that might be troublesome to your own organization if you hired this person, because hiring a person it's like marrying that individual. They're going to be representing you. It's very difficult once someone's part of your organization to separate for many, many reasons.
I want to emphasize three points, I think. First, yes, it's absolutely essential to check references, and many people don't. It's just unbelievable, Valerie. It's just incredible that this doesn't happen. And it frequently leads to a poor fit, a poor recruitment. So getting a list of references, I think, from a candidate is very important, but it's also important to emphasize they're going to give new references that are going to likely be positive about them. And so your checking can't stop with that list of references. It needs to proceed, as Bruder just mentioned, to leadership there, the chair, if that's appropriate. But it also needs to include, and I usually try to do this, contact with someone that you, the recruiting leader, know at the institution and ask them about the candidate. Because those people will be straightforward with you. And that's really, really important. I have made significant mistakes in recruitment because I did not do that, or because I did not listen to what I was told. And sometimes those conversations, as I think Danielle alluded to, are a little opaque, but they tell you something if you listen to what your questions are. To be specific, yes, Bruder, I think you should always ask about integrity, honesty, and communication. People who are a little off the mark when it comes to doing research, for example, I've had experience with that, and just can't be. If there are personal interactions like sexual harassment, you need to ask about those. And if the person says, I don't know anything about that, that's fine, but you need to ask. So those personal characteristics and the values of the candidate, the values that are exhibited, not the values that they talk about, are really crucial to inquire about. So absolutely check with references. Check with references that the candidate has not provided with you, and listen to what you hear when you contact them. And I think that's that approach will limit the number of mistakes in recruitment and the mismatches that do occur.
I agree wholeheartedly with Arnie in terms of the references, the list given, and also those who are not on the list, but who would have something to contribute. The other thing is, in the point that was made around sexual harassment, I think it's important to have the candidate at the center of this. I would ask someone, are there situations that have occurred in your career that we should know about? If the issue, for example, an allegation, a serious allegation, it could be around academic integrity, it could be around sexual harassment, it could be around a number of different issues. The quality of the response, and those are difficult conversations to have, the quality of the response regarding that. And then, of course, you're going to say, and I will inquire about this, because most institutions now have pretty formal processes for how they engage in an investigation of an allegation such as sexual harassment. And knowing the quality of that individual, the quality of what happened, will be very informative. And what the candidate says about that is also informative. These are difficult conversations, but I fully agree with the points that Arnie made, and that I think we have to have those difficult conversations.
I just want to emphasize the two words that Arnie used in his 3 points that he made, and that is honesty and integrity. I think that in everything you do in life, at the end of the day, if in your actions or your words or your inactions, you are not honest and you don't lead with integrity, whether you're the candidate or the referee, that's when you have a problem. And that problem then stays with you forever. I had several situations where a candidate had actually been involved in an investigation around sexual harassment. And this candidate, during their interviewing on our campus, disclosed all of this to me and all the circumstances and what had happened, and the most honest and highly he could not have been, it was clearly an incredibly difficult conversation for him to have, but he was honest and open and said how much he worried that this would follow him for the rest of his life. And after talking about things and getting his approval to reach out and get a little more information, which obviously I did, it became clear that this candidate, had all the wonderful skills and the potential to have an incredibly successful career. And the circumstances were complex, and yet they shouldn't follow him for the rest of his life. We recruited him, and he had an incredibly successful career. So that experience and several others where candidates have not been honest and have not gone through the process with integrity, it's those are the candidates that end up, you know, their careers get displaced and they never get to the level that they need to get to, that they could get to. So I think Arnie's comments, you know, if we remember anything from this session, it's those two words, that in soliciting a reference, in giving a reference, in presenting yourself through an interview process, you must always be honest and conduct yourself with the highest degree of integrity. Because at the end of the day, that will very much define you, much more than your NIH grants, the number of people who, you know, laud you for X, Y, or Z, your awards. It's those characteristics that really define, I think, a successful career.
I don't want to put Bob on the spot, but one of the things we also deal with is, you know, when it involves technical skills, not just your people skills and your collegial skills, but, you know, do you have the hands, you know, or the technical skills to be a lead surgeon, a lead cardiac surgeon, or other things? And I thought it'd be good because, you know, we have clients who will fly to watch people operate before they hire anybody, and others that trust the opinions of their colleagues. And so I thought Bob might have a little wisdom for us on that. That's a form of reference checking, but it's not necessarily on the character of the man or woman, but more their true abilities.
I was thinking those thoughts during the discussion. A couple thoughts in that regard. One is that particularly for mid-career people, the feedback I want to get from, if they're an outside candidate, is not only from their leaders, their chair or their dean or whatever, but also the people whom they may have led in that institution and the people with whom they're collaborating. So in the example of the cardiac surgeon, I want to talk to the anesthesiologist, I want to talk to the cardiologist, I want to talk to the intensivist to get a sense of how that surgeon is perceived clinically, but also how they interface and interact with all those different disciplines. And I'm sure there are parallels in every surgical discipline. You need to not just ask their chair, but try to dig deeper to all the people that they interface with in an organization. Sometimes even nursing, for example, is very important for a clinical leader. I think how they interface with nursing staff can be a very key element. And none of the answers to those questions need to be deal breakers. I think someone spoke earlier about, you really want to identify, you know, soft spots where you could provide assistance to the candidate if you then hire them, which is consistent with what we do when we go in and do a institutional or program review. We identify the areas where they could use help. I think the same thing can be applied to the candidates.
This topic raised, as Valerie talked and Arnie, I had many anecdotes. I always hated to hear it when the chair I called said, "Let me close the door." And I said, "Oh my gosh, that's a death knell." And then I called about a woman faculty member we were recruiting, and the chair said, "Let me close the door." And I thought, "Oh, she was wonderful. What happened?" And chair said, "If she leaves, the morale of our department's going to bottom out." And so even that's not a dead ringer. Well, I want to thank everyone for their conversations. And I think this is a discussion that we could talk about further at another time. But I really appreciate everyone's input. And thanks for those that are listening to this on our career physician website, and encourage you to look at other conversations that might be helpful to you, at least from our experience. So have a wonderful day. Thank you.